The Phil Hendry Show is brought to you by Nissan and your Nissan dealer.
1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
We're talking with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. The Michael Jackson story has people talking about all facets of law enforcement as well as child safety. Operation Respect is something that the Citizens Auxiliary Police will be launching this weekend in communities around the country in conjunction with other volunteer police forces. And it has to do with the Michael Jackson case. And we bring on Jay Santos, who is a Brigadier Admiral with the Citizens Auxiliary Police out of Hawthorne, California. And, sir, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Phil.
Can you tell me what Operation Respect is? I understand that there is a safety concern, there is a security concern, and this is what I wanted to alert my audience to. There's a security concern when it comes to people expressing their opinions about Michael Jackson's guilt, correct?
Phil, that is correct, although I wouldn't say it's as dramatic as a security concern. What we are concerned with is basically this. There are an awful lot of people who are out there making up their minds and saying that Michael Jackson's guilty and they don't have all the facts, and we certainly understand that people have the right to feel any way they want to feel. But when they make up their mind and say, well, I think Michael Jackson's guilty, it does not give respect to the police. And I'm sure there isn't a listener of yours out there that doesn't have respect for their police. But when they think they know better than the police, when they think they know better than the judges, when they think they know better than the juries, this is a sign of respect that is lacking. We're concerned about the well-being of our police officers, as you might well imagine.
So you believe that when somebody says, I think Michael Jackson's guilty, there may be some police who don't, and there may be some judges and lawyers who don't, and that shows that people think they're smarter than cops?
Well, I know as a police officer...
And when we say you're a volunteer police officer, this is a volunteer police group that you started?
Well, it is a volunteer police group, but we do take our job very seriously. We're here to assist the police in whatever it is they need done, and we like take pictures of the shoulder of the police. But I can tell you right now that when someone says to me, or I overhear someone say, and I'm speaking as a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, I think Michael Jackson's guilty, that's kind of just a kick in the stomach to me, because how do they know, or where are they getting their opinion, and why are they expressing it openly when they don't know, when it could pollute a jury pool, and most importantly, it shows people talking, especially so it can be overheard about Michael Jackson being guilty. They're making it sound like they know more than a police officer does, and in my case, like they have knowledge about it. And that, I gotta tell you right now, just speaking for myself, kind of makes me a little angry. It gets me angry. I'm a police officer, a Citizens Auxiliary Police. I have a blue armband,
Well, you're a uniformed volunteer police officer group that you say a Major Elvis Newton started, Citizens Auxiliary Police. But people have the right to express their own opinion, don't they?
People have the right to express an opinion. I don't think, and we feel at Citizens Auxiliary Police, they do not have the right to express it so loudly that it can be overheard by people other than the people it's being directed at. And that's why Operation Respect will simply try to curtail some of that.
Now, as I understand it, by the way, we're talking with Citizens Auxiliary Police Officer Jay Santos. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Your officers will be in malls around Southern California and elsewhere overhearing people talking about Michael Jackson.
Again, Phil, we're talking about polluting the jury pool and disrespecting police officers. If we hear anyone talking about the Michael Jackson case and voicing the opinion that he's guilty, we are going to simply remind them that a jury has yet to be selected. We will ask them to lower their voices, and we might ask you to change the topic of your conversation. Because
for two reasons, disrespect of the police, and so if someone says publicly, I think Michael Jackson's guilty, they're showing up cops.
Well, they think they know, they think they know more, and that's disrespectful. But that's the more important thing, is they're polluting the jury pool, and they're just, this is going to be a very emotional case. It could cause an awful lot of friction. You start running around saying, well, I think Michael Jackson's guilty, you're going to make some people angry. I can tell you right now, it sort of makes me a little bit angry just to hear people say they think they know, you know, what are they? Well, it's funny what people think they know, you know, it's their big mouths, but so we're just going to ask them to lower their voices, maybe change the topic of conversation. And we'd like to take a look at their driver's license for information. That's it.
Taking a look at the driver's license.
Yes, we'll just request to get information on that.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Michael Jackson's guilt or innocence is going to be debated as vociferously, I imagine, as O.J. Simpson's.
Without a doubt, Joe.
And I imagine there's going to be people on both sides of this issue. You seem to be focusing on Michael Jackson's people thinking he's guilty.
Most people that I have listened to and that I have reluctantly had to walk up to and tell them to keep it down, these are all people who believe he's guilty. And just kind of grates on my nerves as a volunteer police officer trying to help out the police. When I got to listen to someone say, oh, Michael Jackson's guilty, it's kind of grates on my nerves because what do they know? They don't know anything. And as well as probably piss off, or excuse my language, I don't mean piss off, but, you know, make angry other people who don't think he's guilty, and also the jury pool.
Let's talk about polluting the jury pool. There's a potential jury pool out there for the Michael Jackson trial, and individuals who express their belief that he is guilty can influence those jurors.
Absolutely. And then you're going to have to go through a long jury selection process. They're not going to get to the trial, which I think is probably everyone's going to agree is the most fascinating part of the trial, is the actual trial, not the jury selection, and so on and so forth. But I want to make it very clear, all these people I hear, oh, Michael Jackson's guilty. I'm a volunteer police officer. I spend 4 days of the week doing the things we do. I don't know why they think they know more than I do, and that's all I'm trying to say.
Well, I mean, it's not really about you.
No, I know it's not about me.
But see, you're saying that, well, if somebody says Michael Jackson's guilty, they think they're...
Well, these are civilians that don't know really any, you know, as Sheryl Crow sang in that song, they don't know diddly squat. Yeah, they don't know diddly squat. And so that's...
All right, so Jay, can you tell me if... I'd like to know, do you think he's guilty?
Yeah, you know, Phil, it doesn't matter as a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police what I believe. But now, because of the insults of people who think he's guilty, I may want to think he's innocent just so I can counterbalance it.
Because of what you call the insulting behavior of people who think he's guilty, expressing it out in public.
That's right. And the fact that I had to be informed of this by my son was one of those kicks to the gut that you don't get over too quickly. As a police officer on the front line of law enforcement, the Citizens Auxiliary Police, we pride ourselves in information. My son's got to come in and say, did you hear about Michael Jackson got picked up for, you know, touching on a kid? And I had not even heard none about it. Boy, that kicks you right in your, you know, where it hurts. So.
All right, 1-800, I know you're in your substation now.
That is correct, right now. But again, what we want to say is there'll be officers out there.
Well, let me get the information here. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Walking up to people at their tables at restaurants, if they're talking about Michael Jackson's guilt, telling them to keep it down.
That is correct, yes, sir.
And change the subject.
Yes, sir, that is correct.
Or what?
If they don't want to, you're asking if they're uncooperative?
Yeah, if they continue to say it's none of your business, I want to just keep talking about Michael Jackson, what do you do?
We've got a problem, and we want to solve it as safely as we can without injuring anybody else in the restaurant, but you're going to have a problem with me, and you're going to have a problem with our officers.
Can you tell me what that means specifically?
You know, Mr. Henry, I'd really rather not, but let me just say, if we ask you to keep your voice down when you're saying Michael Jackson's guilty in a restaurant, and you say, no, I won't, you're going to have a problem with me. There's a lot of vulnerable people out there who might believe these big mouths and their opinions about Michael Jackson, they don't know anything.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Polluting the possible jury pool, insulting police officers because you think you know everything. That's one of the problems, or two, I should say, of the Citizens Auxiliary Police when they hear people say in restaurants, I think Michael Jackson's guilty. If you're talking in a restaurant and you express that opinion very loudly, they will come up to you and they will ask you to lower your voice and ask you to change the subject. Otherwise, as he said it, and he was very cryptic, you're going to have a problem with him. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. We eat kittens. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We're on with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Forgive me, Jay. We've been talking to Dr. Jim Sadler last hour about his latest book, Safari in South Africa. I don't know if you've read it.
I do know his work, yeah.
I wanted to ask you a little bit about the... I wanted to ask you a little bit about this Operation Respect. You're going to be asking people to keep their voices down and not talk about Michael Jackson being guilty. Otherwise, they're going to have a problem.
That is correct, yes, sir.
I know there's a lot of people who want to ask you what you mean by that, but let me be the first.
Well, I mean, Phil, it's a big problem out there. A lot of people impersonating a police officer saying that...
You know, it was the police who arrested Michael Jackson.
No, I know it was the police who arrested Michael Jackson, so they have a right to their opinion. But when I hear other people say, I think Michael Jackson's guilty, I want to kind of stop and just sort of look at them and apprise the situation and approach them as safely as I can and say, you know, what gives you the right? I wear a blue armband and I wear the pith helmet of the Citizens Auxiliary Police because I believe that I've earned that. And somebody's going to sit there and have a cup of latte and say Michael Jackson's guilty? I don't think so.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. I want to talk to Lynn. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Lynn?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, ma'am.
Yeah, my comment is, you know, you're walking up to these people and you're going to tell them that they don't have the right to talk about whether or not Michael Jackson's guilty, but when you turn the news on, it's on every channel, every hour, on the hour, and it's going to be on every channel, on the hour, every hour, until this is over with.
Well, but one thing, ma'am. They're reporting the news. I'm talking about people expressing the opinion that he's guilty.
But that, you don't have the right to tell them that they can't express their opinion.
Well, where did
it's
he get off?
The constitutional rights for you to tell them they can't express their opinion.
But, ma'am,
the lady has a point. People have a right to their opinion.
They do have a right to their opinion, but on the other hand, they're polluting the jury pool and also acting big. What gives them the right to act big? And
okay, they're not. I don't agree with the fact that they're polluting the jury pool. The jury is going to decide for themselves with the evidence that's presented to them in court.
Yeah, but what I mean by that, ma'am, is the jury has not been selected yet, and they're saying, I think Michael Jackson's guilty, and that person they're saying that to might have been in the jury pool, and that person's going to go, you stupid blankety blank. I just got a jury summons, and now you've all messed me up and everything.
You're taking too much into your own hands. You can't do that. You're breaking everybody's constitutional rights by trying to tell them that they cannot speak about this in public.
Well, ma'am, I don't think so. The other thing is, what gives you the right to say, oh, I think Michael Jackson's guilty? Well, you don't wear a badge.
Because this is America and it's a free country, and I can voice my opinion no matter whether you like it or not. It's America.
Well, I will.
It's my opinion.
Well, at that point, then, I will have to approach you and ask you to keep your voice down.
Well, I mean, the lady has a point. I see your point about polluting the jury pool.
What's going on here, Mr. Hendry, is people are prejudicing, purposely running around and saying, Michael Jackson's guilty, Michael Jackson's guilty, until the man can't get a fair trial. And I think it's wrong that a man who gave us a song like Man in the Mirror, Beat It and What and so on, can't get a fair trial in America because somebody wants to get their cookies.
But yet it's right to stomp on the Constitution of the United States by asking somebody in public talking privately to tell them to be quiet.
Okay, this is where I need to... Are you telling people to stop talking?
No, I'm not. I'm saying keep your voice down so other people can't hear it.
So you're not saying don't have the conversation?
No. I'm simply saying we don't want to hear it beyond your table.
Well, I know what people are going to say to you.
Well, you know, Lynn, what makes you so special? It's people got to listen to your loud conversation while they're trying to have their own. Yeah. Didn't think of that, did you? Yeah.
Because I got no business asking me if I'm in public. You know what? Maybe you should go get your real license and be a real cop.
Ma'am, I'm a volunteer police officer.
Why aren't you a real police officer?
You know something? That's completely off the subject.
Well, all right, Lynn, thank you. 1-800-449-8686.
See, that lady, I stopped her dead in her tracks. See what I'm saying? I said, you can have the conversation. We just don't want to hear your big mouth talking about it. I stopped her dead in her tracks. She's all offended because she thinks her opinion about Michael Jackson being guilty, like everybody wants to hear it. I don't think so.
All right, let's go to, I want to go to Louie here. Louie, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Chase Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Go ahead.
Good evening. How you doing?
Yes, sir. Fine.
A very quick question. First of all, I really believe, just like I guarantee you everyone does, where you're innocent until proven guilty.
That's but right. That's in the Constitution of the United States.
One question. Is it against the law for me to talk about Michael Jackson in public?
No, ma'am. No, ma'am.
No, sir.
This is a gentleman.
I'm sorry. It is not.
So if it's not against the law, you have absolutely no right to stop me to talk about anything. Police officer has the right. No, you don't have the right.
Well, can I ask you a question? What makes you think your opinion is so interesting that the guy at three tables over wants to hear
it? Doesn't matter whether it's interesting or not. We're talking about whether we have the right or not, not whether it's interesting or not. It's whether you have the right. I live in Canada, first of all, Toronto, and it's not illegal for me to talk about anything.
Now, they got a constitution.
Has the United States turned into a communist country?
Are they part of
the... You can't voice your opinion.
Yes, Canada's not part of the Constitution of the United States, as far as I know.
It doesn't matter. I'm talking about if I lived in the States, and you're telling me it's against the law for me to voice my opinion? You're out of your mind. No wonder you're not a police officer.
Well, sir, can I ask you a question?
With that kind of an attitude, never will be.
No, but you're one of these guys that thinks that his opinion about Michael Jackson grabbing a kid's thing... It's so important.
I have nothing to do with it. It's my opinion. It's anybody's opinion.
But why does...
We can voice our opinion. That's the beauty of living in Canada. That's the beauty of living in the United States.
All I'm trying to say to you is you think your opinion's so important, you want the guy five tables down to hear it with your thick Canadian accent and all of that. Now,
will you knock it off about the man's Canadian accent?
This is why you're not a police officer, because you're ignorant. It has nothing to do with my accent or anything else.
Excuse me, sir.
Okay, it has to do with people voicing their opinion.
Look,
and it's no one else's business. And if you don't like it, you can say, listen, we don't like what you're saying. Try to keep it down. But don't start threatening people. You're going to have a problem with me and the police officers.
Well, that's all I'm saying, sir. I'm just simply saying, could you keep your comments to yourself?
I would love to come down there and for you to do whatever you're going to do. I'd have you in court so fast your head would spin.
Wait a second. Well, I'm a Citizens Auxiliary Police, a Brigadier Admiral. What are you going to do?
I said, if I was in the States and you heard me talking about Michael Jackson, and you told me I got to stop talking about it, and I said, I can do what I want, you said, you're going to have a problem with me. What kind of a problem? You let one hand on me or any other American or Canadian, you're going to have your ass in court so fast your head would spin.
Sir, you're entitled to voice your opinion about hockey or maple syrup, whatever you people do.
You're an ignorant son of a gun. That's why you'll never be a police officer. You don't know what you're talking about because of people like you that give the police officer in the United States a bad name.
Police officer in the United States?
Because of people like you. That's why you're an auxiliary police officer.
Sir,
you can't be a cop.
Well, you're a citizen's auxiliary police officers. You're not even a real cop.
Hold on for just a second. The police officers of the United States of America, the most professional in the world, make the Canadians...
I agree with you.
You're not being professional. Why don't you tell me about Celine Dion or something, okay?
You get off the Canadian thing. Yeah, just
get... If you're an ignorant son of a gun, you'll never be a police officer, buddy.
Sir, never. Sir, I'm simply saying...
You'll never be a police officer.
You got to keep your voice down.
And you can't walk around with a gun, because if you do, you probably shoot somebody. You're an ignorant son of a gun, and it's people like you that give the Americans a bad name. Okay? It's people like you. You can't talk about that, and if you do, you're going to have a problem with me. And then we're going to know what's going to happen.
Look, Larry.
It's unbelievable. I'm listening to this on the radio.
Larry.
And I'm shaking my head.
The man's name isn't Larry, it's Louie.
Well, let's talk about Stanley Cup. Who do you like this year? Are you?
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, he is.
1-800-449. Goodbye.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. This is not an official police agency, sir.
Well, you keep trying to make the distinction, Phil. We're an auxiliary police force. We're there to assist the police in crowd control and investigative purposes when we feel that they're overloaded.
Well, then, did they request your assistance?
When we feel the police are overloaded, we will assist. But I want to get to the point of...
Well, let me ask you the question I want to ask you.
Certainly.
What do you mean when you say, if you don't keep your voice down... See, you're talking about people expressing an opinion about Michael Jackson being guilty, which you think is wrong of them to do, and you want them to keep their voice down. If they don't, you say something along the lines of, you'll have to deal with me.
That's correct.
Tell me specifically what you'll do.
Well, Phil, a lot of people interpret that as something violent. We have a great many ways of getting people's attention and holding their attention, and that's the most important thing in police work. You want to get a person's focus right here. You want their nose on your nose. As we say in police work, you want to get them focused down on you. If I say to a couple of people, you know, your opinion about Michael Jackson being guilty is fine, but could you keep your voice down because I don't want you to impose it on anybody else, and they say, well, no, I won't, you can grab a menu out of someone's hands, like they'll generally be holding a menu. I'll say, I want your ID. If she won't show it to me, I'll go into her purse. Now, I know that...
You can't grab a woman's purse and open it up.
I'm not really going to do it. But it's funny what women will do when you grab their purse and you open it, you start looking inside. Just as kind of a joke, so I was kidding my wife about this. So what are you guys hiding there? Vibrator, some kind of a dildo or some kind of deal? Because no woman ever wants you to go in her purse. You wonder what the heck that they're...
Could we clean our language up a little bit?
I'm sorry, Phil?
Could we clean the language up a little bit? You used a word that I don't appreciate on my show.
I'm awfully sorry. But what I'm saying is I don't know what women are trying to hide in their purses. So we can do that. A bread knife banging against a water glass. Let me tell you what. I was never in the military, but I can well imagine I'll get your attention.
So you'll bang on a water glass until I stop talking about Michael Jackson being...
Not stop. I didn't say stop.
Okay, if I keep my voice down so that other people don't hear it.
That is correct. Yes, sir.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Mike. Hello, Mike. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Jay Santos.
Yeah, I want to know, as somebody that was in the military that got shot and shot other people defending that First Amendment to the Constitution, what gives any officer, let alone a wannabe officer, the right to tell me I can't exercise my First Amendment right?
Well, sir, I'm not telling you that. I'm simply saying keep it down so you're not boring everybody in the restaurant with it. You see what I'm saying?
No, the Constitution was based on people that got in the street and yelled and screamed their point for other people to know it so we could get our freedom of religion and speech from England. It wasn't based on the people that sat in corners and cried around to each other.
Well, I dare say, sir, Michael Jackson's guilt or innocence is going to determine whether or not we are independent from the United Kingdom.
Don't go there. Somebody says something, you're saying something to get off the point.
No,
sir. You're doing things that aren't right.
Well, sir, what exactly...
I think that what Mike's saying is, no matter if the whole world can hear it or just one guy can hear it, the guy's got a right to say it.
If you insist on that point of view, sir, then we have to invoke disturbance of the peace.
Tell you something, my friend. As somebody who was in the military, you do not have the right to carry a weapon because you are not an officer. If you come up to someone like me grab my glass, you're going to have that glass in a place that you don't want it.
Then you're going to have to deal with me.
Oh, I would love to deal with you, my friend. I got a whole bunch of people that was in the military in this country that are listening to you on radio that would love to deal with you.
Well, sir, this is about the fourth time you mentioned being in the military. What unit?
I was a recon operations specialist for 13 years in the United States Marine Corps, went to basic training in Pendleton, went to ops training in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. I'm not one of these wannabes that's calling in on the radio. I have scars, medals, and other ribbons to define what I do, and I'll be happy to fax to you
in
California if you want them.
Did you ever have your ass in the grass?
I think the man says he has scars and ribbons.
It's like that, I don't know if you ever see that Jack Nicholson in A Few Good Men.
Well, what's that got to do with anything?
That's got to do with the right that you can't override the First Amendment, and that's what you're doing. You don't have the balls to stand up and be a real cop or a real military person to defend
that
Constitution.
Sir, we take a peek over the shoulder of the police. We try to assist them in every way, shape, or form, and we do not abuse that right. We can affect this in a very simple way. We tell the children. If we can follow one of the kids to the restroom and say, please tell your mommy and daddy keep their voice down, that's a simple way of doing it.
Under the new laws in California, my friend, that is stalking of a child.
Oh, you call me a pervert?
If you're going into the restroom to say something like that to a child, in your own laws, in your own state, that's considered stalking.
Look, one of our best female officers, Private Miranda Morrison, is very good at approaching the children in the restaurant washrooms to tell them mommy and daddy to please stop talking about Michael Jackson being guilty. What's wrong with that?
That's a lawsuit and a wannabe talking to kids. You just don't have the balls to go out and be a real cop and take the backlash that comes with it.
Sir,
being shot at, being called at.
Sir, I attempted to become a member of Los Angeles Police Force, and the politics involved, you know, and I don't play politics. Maybe you do. Coming from the military, you probably are getting ready to say yes, sir, no, sir, and how high should I jump? I don't play that. What I do, sir.
Don't get me wrong. I ain't that way. I was recruited by the Los Angeles Police Department and told them I was not interested in it because of what they have to deal with, and it's mainly people like you.
Well, sir, I can tell you.
Well, hold on. Why didn't the LAPD want you?
Not you, Mike.
I'm talking to this guy, Mr. Santos.
It was political, Phil. Believe it.
Oh, well, political. Why didn't they want you?
They said I failed the psych test, which I do not believe. What are you laughing at?
You failed a psych test. You proved to everybody in the United States that you'd fail a psych test by what you've been saying on the radio.
You failed the psych test.
I think it's political. At the time, the chief of police was Gerald Gates, a real you-know-what. So
you failed the psych test.
Yeah, you gonna say that again?
Meaning, Jay, they thought you were too nuts to be a real cop.
I am a real cop, Phil. Sub-Commander Elvis Newton promoted me to my rank. I am a great believer in the Star-Spangled Banner. This guy here, what would you say you're in, sir, the Navy?
I was a Marine.
Ain't that the same thing?
No, it ain't.
No, sir, that is not.
No, it ain't the same thing.
Well, ain't a Marine a guy that's on what?
It's not the same thing. Just leave it at that. Mike, thank you very much.
Hey, soldier, at ease. I got the 1,000-yard
okay,
stare.
Okay, thank you for letting me say my piece.
Hey, Mike, I got the 1,000-yard stare, too. I mean, why go away, as enemies?
What do you mean you got the 1,000-yard stare?
I do.
All right, Mike, thank you.
Bye-bye.
1-800-449-8686. Here's Lou. Lou, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Mr. Santos. You're going to be talking to a real cop. 25 years as a police officer.
Are you still active?
I wore a badge. I carried a gun. I am retired now. I'm also a United States Air Force veteran.
You're retired, so you're not a real cop anymore.
I certainly am. Once a cop, always cop. I never wore a pith helmet or a blue armband, and I would never, even as a real cop, walk up to somebody in any public place and tell them you can't talk about something.
Oh, wait a second. You're disturbing the peace.
Hey, hold on a minute, Santos. I can see why you failed the psychological test for the LAPD, because I think you are just plain plum nuts.
Sir, you can vilify me.
You have told everybody that's listening to this program that you are a psycho, or you would be a real cop. Believe me.
Mr. Henry, your laughter only encourages this man.
Well, the guy, he just said it. You said you failed the psych test. You say it's political, but the LAPD said you couldn't get past the psych test, so that means, it doesn't mean you're nuts, but it means that you don't have the psychological whatever the hell you need to be a cop.
Daryl Gates was pushed out in disgrace by the LAPD.
We're not talking about Daryl Gates. We're talking about you and your goofy ideas that you can walk up to somebody and tell them to be quiet.
Even
a real cop can't do that unless they're creating a disturbance
in that
restaurant.
Listen to me.
Unless they're creating a disturbance in whatever public place they're at, and the people that run that place call the police and say, we have a disturbance here. You just don't get up and say, hey, fella, you can't talk about Michael Jackson or somebody else like that. And even if they were, that's their opinion.
I got two words for you, Lou. Dirty Jerry. Dirty Jerry. That's what's going to happen if you know all these people say, oh, Michael Jackson's guilty, Michael Jackson's guilty. Next thing you know, you won't be able to find a juror in a whole planet Earth. They'll be on that thing.
All right, listen, Lou, I hear you. Thank you, sir.
Ahead.
Thanks for your call, sir. And thank you for your service to our country as a police officer.
Thank you very much. What an ass kisser.
Goodbye.
Oh. Let me go over here to Doug. Hiya, Doug. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Doug? It says Doug Elderly, so I'm just waiting. Doug?
I can do this, Phil. I talk to the old folks. Doug, sir, this is Jay Santa, Citizens on City Police. Okay, he's dead.
All right, well.
So what I want to say more than anything is that I believe the people are there.
I'm going to go to another call. I can't stand listening to you. Here is George.
Yes.
George, go ahead.
Hi. I want to comment on Mr. Auxiliary Police's comments. As a lawyer practicing right now, I think I'm a little bit of an authority on what people can do and what people can't do. So I ask that you just listen to me.
What kind of law do you
respond?
What kind of law do you practice? Real estate?
No, actually, I practice criminal law and commercial litigation.
What do you think about Saddam Hussein, the whole deal we did over there?
Will you forget it and let him say what he wants to say?
Thank you.
Go ahead, George.
Citizens have a certain right to express their opinion under the First Amendment. I think that's been discussed, so I won't discuss that further. What I do want to discuss is your abuse of power.
How many DUIs did you log in this week? Because
will you let the guy talk?
Can we speak? Can I speak?
All right.
Your abuse of power. I can tell you this. By you grabbing somebody's purse, that is considered an assault. By you going after a child without a parent's permission and talking to him, that is considered stalking.
What country?
Any time. What country? In the United States of America. What country are you living in?
Well, what country you live in?
United States of America.
No, you know, you're a damn Canadian. I can tell. You know how I know? Because you say organization and all that kind of nonsense.
Will you listen to the guy and stop with the comments?
You know, I actually called originally to have a normal conversation with
right.
you, but if they're gonna interrupt me with comments that have nothing to do with the topic we talk about, let me know.
Well, I want to interrupt you with comments about nothing to do with the topic we're talking
all right.
about.
All right. Therefore, all I want to say is that
what
you better
you
be careful about... Oh, Jesus Christ.
You there?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello?
Go right ahead, sir. You're on the air.
All right. Basically, what I'm worried about is your...
organization swings into
action. Well, there's music playing while I'm talking.
Get some feed music for you.
Yes, I'm here, but there's music playing while I'm talking?
Or the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Go ahead, sir.
Yes.
These are the stories. Go ahead. It's my theme music.
Again, what I'm worried about is your abuse of power going after people and assaulting them in restaurants. That is not right. Second of all, what gives you the right to tell me what I can and can't do? You do not have that right. And if you continue along this path, somebody will arrest you or sue you.
Okay, well, I think Allie McBeal is... calling, so
get out of here with your smart mouth. George,
Jesus.
Thank you very much,
Phil,
George. Very good
I'm
comments.
Sorry.
No. You did a very good job, sir. Did a very good job.
Goodbye.
Thank you very much, George, for your comments.
All right. Goodbye.
Phil,
thank you.
Never a duly authorized force goes into power. It's the citizens.
Have you been drinking? That's all. That's the question that I have. Have you been drinking?
I might have had a pop.
Turn it off. Jay Santis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, he better not hear you talking about you thinking Michael Jackson's guilty, or he just might pull your menu away from you. And what's the matter, Jay?
Well, I was sitting here thinking that, you know, the uniform of the Citizens Auxiliary Police is a pith helmet, a blue armband, and Bermuda shorts.
That's correct.
And I was telling you that I'd been drinking.
Yeah.
Could that be the reason why my Bermuda shorts are on my head?
No, not at all.
All right, thanks very much.
1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. He's still Jenny on the block. 1-800-449-8686. The Bill Henry Show is back.
We got to walk down memory lane right now. And by the way, if you'd like to request a memory lane, phs@philhenryshow.com. And the letter's from Robert. It says, since it's almost Thanksgiving, can you replay the bit where the chef let the poor people smell the cooked turkeys but wouldn't let them eat them? Great radio from Robert. Well, Robert, here it is, from November of 2001, Roland Schwinn, where he was letting people watch him eat Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah. I've never called a radio station in my life.
Oh.
I'm driving, and this man is absolutely creating, I'm getting palpitations, incredible. I the only thing that he is compelling me or inspiring in me is for somebody to either give him the Hemlick and get that food out of his mouth, or pay for
some classes of manners.
I have in my mind is this man with a mouth full of food.
I'm trying to inspire people.
You are not inspiring anything. The only thing that you're inspiring is a mouth full of food that you are incapable of swallowing.
What is your main complaint? I don't understand. So in other
my
words,
main complaint is that you are totally out of touch with reality. Okay? And if you will just be quiet long enough to swallow your food and listen to me, I will greatly appreciate it.
The wild pecan rice came out of the oven. It is wonderful, Alicia. And
sweetheart, I have a very successful business. I'm in aviation. And you know what, honey? It is a job. It is a real job.
No, what part of aviation do you work in?
50 people in aviation at Miami.
What part of aviation do you... Are you an airline?
I'm in aircraft maintenance. Okay? I'm in a repair station in Miami, and I also have maintenance.
What are you doing?
The sour cream just came out of the oven, and this is the caviar pie. Alicia, I'm going to do a taste test.
No, sweetheart, you know what you need to do? Is just get off the radio and let people... that are more into the reality. Okay?
What is up with this guy and his food?
Yeah.
Incredible. It is disgusting. It is
sour
disgusting
cream.
What this person is doing. I pray
Animal.
To God that so he it, never...
Sally's pulling out the scalloped potatoes. Oh.
That's solid. That's just solid, baby. That's Roland Schwinn. He was having an orgasm, man, over that the scalloped potatoes and the caviar pie. From November 2001, a little walk down memory lane, baby, just to kind of, you know, to kill about 2 minutes. By the way, on Saturday, tomorrow, we'll be at Yankee Doodles in Woodland Hills signing the greatest comedy CD ever to come out of the world of radio. It was produced by our radio show. It's called The Death of Talk Radio. It's the best of the Phil Henry Show 2003. And it can be yours. Come on out to Woodland Hills tomorrow, Yankee Doodles. It starts at 11, it goes to 1, 21870 Victory Boulevard. Get off at Topanga Canyon, go north off of the 101 up there, and you find it. We'll see you in just a couple of minutes. We've got Joe Dickhead ahead with the NFL picks.
1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
...1-800-449-8686. And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
Well, we got some information here about the white trash mother of that child alleged to have been abused by Michael Jackson and the real scumbag father of that kid as well. Hi, everybody. This is Phil Henry, and this is the good news portion of your day. That's right. The kid that Michael Jackson is alleged to have molested, his father apparently is a real piece of human waste... accused of abusing the children. The mother, she ain't no bargain either. She's some white trash that apparently hooked up with this guy, and in the process, the children were abused. She got away from him and eventually got some kind of a restraining order. But it is my concerted opinion, it is this reporter's opinion and all that baloney, that she fell in with Michael Jackson as a way of securing, shall we say, something for herself and her family, monetarily or otherwise. It's a real, real interesting past to this family. Let me tell you what. The boy was abused by his own father. And I'm going to say this. If Michael Jackson abused it, let me just say this to you right now, okay? This is another opinion that you didn't hear today on your way home on your favorite talk radio show. If Michael Jackson molested that kid, the mother induced him to do it, in my opinion. She set the kid up. She put the kid in the situation purposefully. She wanted to see if she couldn't stick her mud hooks into Jackson for a few bucks. She magically has the same lawyer that this other kid had. She magically all of a sudden is suing this guy for $20 million when, a few months before he was the greatest thing since sliced bread. She's got therapists for this kid. She's got it all, thanks to Michael Jackson. And now maybe she's hoping to get to suck a few bucks out of the guy, too. I'll tell you right now, I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case. If everybody's hell-bent on making this guy a child molester, and everybody is, every one of these guys, especially on Fox, I look at the Fox News Channel, because to me, the reason why I talk about the Fox News Channel is, to me, it is the perfect example of the utter runaway hypocrisy of the so-called conservative movement in America. I mean, runaway hypocrisy. It's out of control now. It's just... There's no stopping it now. I mean, we got drug addicts. We got all kinds of guys. I swear to God, it's my own personal opinion. That guy Bill O'Reilly, I bet you that guy's got a porn collection that'd make Michael Jackson's look like a couple of home movies. What do you think of that? Why don't you sue me for that one, O'Reilly, okay? Hey, by the way, how did that lawsuit come out against Al Franken? Funny how that just disappeared, didn't it? Finally, Fox had to walk up to you and say, look, forehead boy, just stick to reading all whatever that garbage is you read and leave the thinking to us, okay? Now get out of our faces and quit eating onions for lunch, too. Your freaking mouthwash ain't making it. And those guys, what we have is this indignation. And the phony baloney outrage is just record-breaking. Yesterday, on that news channel, that funk news channel, how you spelling Fox, by the way? They got the two kids. Am I right or am I wrong about this, Janice? Jackson's, both of Jackson's kids, that he tried to cover their face. I mean, look, you may hate Michael Jackson's guts, and you may want to stick a gaff hook in him and hang him from the highest freaking yardarm from your yacht, Mr. Murdoch. But the fact is, you showed the images of his two children that he has taken great pains to conceal from the public. I mean, they are innocent kids. Isn't that what everybody cares about here? Isn't that what everyone is just so concerned with? Not Fox, man. They'll put their kisses all across the screen. If it means a couple of more dollars, if it means another, if it means another Subway commercial. And let's not forget, where there's a dollar to be made and an ambulance to be chased, Gloria Allred isn't far behind. Hey, nice going, Gloria, because her ugly face was in the news today, giving her opinion on Michael Jackson, even though I thought you were chasing those ambulances up in Modesto, Allred. What is it with you anyway, huh? I guess you own a couple of cars, man. You got to be hiring people to chase those ambulances for you now, huh? So Allred, even though she's up there, being the mouthpiece for Amber Fry, whatever dollars she can make out of that, whatever book she can write out of that, whatever, now she's taught, she's weighing in on Michael Jackson's children, should be removed from him. Whoa, well, Jesus, excuse me. Excuse the hell out of me, Gloria. You weighed in on that one. And by the looks of you, man, when you weigh in on something, it makes a big noise. I ain't seen you from the neck down, but I can well imagine. Attorney wants Jackson's children removed. The demand by attorney Gloria Allred came as quiet descended on Santa Barbara following Jackson's media-saturated blah, blah. 1993, Allred briefly represented a 13-year-old boy involved in a molestation allegation that never led to criminal charges, but reportedly ended with Jackson paying a multi-million dollar civil settlement to Gloria, to the boy. Yeah, I'll tell you about Gloria Allred, just so you guys know. She tried to hook on in the city of Los Angeles as a talk show host on the radio, right? Horrible. Absolutely horrible. Most of those people make absolutely horrible radio hosts, and she didn't disappoint. And so they finally couldn't take her, and they threw her to hell off the radio station, whatever. Now she pops up with her freaking kisser with Amber Fry, and now with this, Michael Jackson's kids ought to be taken away from him. In other words, just stick your big fat nose wherever you can, Gloria, and somebody is going to, sooner or later, someone's going to put you on another TV show. Don't worry about it. It's going to be fine. And then this. The uproar surrounding the Michael Jackson case will not be the first time the alleged victim's life has encountered significant tumult. You want to sue Michael Jackson, huh? This mother has put this kid through more crap than Michael Jackson probably ever has. The 13-year-old boy's father was arrested last year on a variety of child abuse charges, including counts alleging that the man, a 37-year-old supermarket employee, may have endangered his son's health through cruel and inhuman corporal punishment that resulted in a traumatic condition. The boy's father pled no contest last year to a single misdemeanor charge of willful cruelty to a child. He finished a court-ordered parenting class. Below, you'll find the misdemeanor complaint and all this other crap, whose name and those of his children have we've redacted to protect the identity of Jackson's alleged victim. This is from Smoking Gun. In an October 2001 divorce petition, the man's estranged wife alleged that he once threatened to kill her and the couple's three kids. Look, since yesterday, there's been some noise about him wanting to get custody of this kid. Can I please have that news, too? Because this is like old news. We already know that this family this kid comes from is real suspect, real up for grabs. And more here about, you know, Gloria Allred. The Jackson family has weighed in. Jermaine Jackson told everybody to take it and shove it up left sideways. All you white folks. He didn't bring race into it. I did. I'm sorry. Macaulay Culkin. They have a whole list of kids that used to spend time at the ranch there with Michael Jackson. Macaulay Culkin, who used to sleep over, said at once in the New York Magazine, he once said, the only place where I feel absolutely 100% comfortable. He didn't want to talk about the charges. Emmanuel Lewis goes way back, according to George Mayo, Emmanuel Lewis's agent. Wade Robson, the Britney Spears choreographer who danced in three of Jackson's videos, was nine and was a frequent guest at Jackson's Neverland Ranch. He declined comment. Equally mum was Aldo Casio, the owner of Aldo's restaurant in Wyckoff, New Jersey. His nephews used to go there. The relationship with Jackson made headlines soon after another 13-year-old boy accused Jack. We got the whole thing. Let me tell you why these people are mum, by the way. That is not because they believe the man is guilty. That's because they're showing loyalty to the man. And they've probably been asked not to say anything by his lawyers. So that's my opinion. Now, why are we all... What is the whole thing? Why do some people not get it about Michael Jackson? Why do some people not get it about Michael Jackson? If I put it in this context, then you'd get it. What if you found out, say, 5 years after the Beatles broke up, that Paul McCartney was a raging pedophile, or that he'd been accused of having having sex with children? I guarantee you that you wouldn't change your opinion of him. You'd feel bad that he hurt children, but you'd still think his music was fantastic. You might even feel sorry for him. And frankly, you wouldn't want to believe it. So just think of any big star that you love, any big movie star, music star, anything that you love, and imagine them being charged with child molestation. Number one, you wouldn't want to believe it. Number two, you'd still dig their music. And number three, you'd feel sorry for them. That's why Michael Jackson remains very, very popular with his fans. And for you old morons, Forehead Boy, and the rest of the clowns that fill in for you, and all you white boys over at Fox, you don't get it, you don't get it, okay? I ain't saying that I'm the number one Michael Jackson fan in the world, but by God, I understand music, and I know why people like it. I spent over 20 years of my life in the business. And the fact is, the guy is hugely popular. Why? Well, it's got something to do with the fact that he's very talented. He's a great writer. He's a great producer. All the stuff that he does. What's he like as a human being? I got no idea. He's probably the biggest piece of crap going. But then I don't know for sure. Do you? And these guys over at E! Television. And then we went into the lair. And there we saw baby dolls and a bed. We saw all kinds of weird stuff that a man should not have. Okay, is he a child molester yet? Wake me when he's a child molester, will you? Well, but why would he have a secret compartment with videotape? Ha ha ha! Yeah, I know, man, because when we go to your house and we look in the secret compartment where the videotape is, we know we're going to find something really nasty and not necessarily anything we want to look at either. What are you talking about? It's a videotape of me and my wife. Like I said, nothing we'd want to look at. You know, Henry, guys like you, you just don't get it. You don't understand the parents of the world and how much we care about our children. And, oh, will you please talk to the freaking hand on that one, my man. You care about children, do you? Is that what you care about? Oh, really? You know, the way America treats its children, That's the hardest one to believe. This country treats its children worse than any country in the world. Your kid isn't safe anywhere in this country. We love our children. Do you realize it's a federal offense to rob a bank, but it's not a federal offense to harm a child? Why? Well, I'll tell you why, because money's more important. You want to know why people are down in Miami right now banging garbage can lids on the cement? Because it's a federal offense to rob a freaking bank, but it ain't no federal offense to hurt a kid. And don't talk to me about the federal rap on kidnapping, because that's for adults too, and it had to do with the Lindbergh baby and a whole bunch of celebrity push crap. I'm talking about somebody killing a kid anywhere in the United States. It's not a federal offense. Federal offense, though, and that's why those cats go down to Miami and Seattle and the rest of those idiots do the thing that they do, because they're trying to make a point about profit over people. Do you understand? Yet, finally, thank you. Phil will be back with more bullcrap. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Joe Dickhead's NFL picks are coming up, man. Boy, did he hit it out of the park last week. He went 12-4. I guess that's good, is it? And our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com. And today we got a mailbag that you're going to love, I guess. We do have mail. Also want to talk to you, another guy has opened his big mouth about something other than Michael Jackson. Sean Penn's back with us. Oh, yeah. Can't wait for this one. Sean Penn. They got him all quoted and everything in Entertainment Weekly. So we're going to take a look at Mr. Penn's musings. And, you know, we'll rap about that because, after all, he's an artist. You know about that? He's a real artist, man. He went over to Baghdad, so he's got it down. So we'll talk about him. By the way, Sean, you're invited to come on the show, too. You and that fat brother of yours. I like both of you guys in movies, though, especially Chris. Actually, Chris is a better actor than you, man. I didn't want to say anything, but he really is. I bet you Chris Penn is in more popular movies than Sean Penn. What do you think? Chris Reservoir Dogs kicks ass on anything Sean Penn ever did. Anything. So right there. I think, Chris, you ought to start jacking the price, and Sean, you ought to bring yours down a little bit. And if you ever hire your brother to be in one of your movies, Mr. Penn, Sean, sir, just back the truck up to his house with the money in it. All right, 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Sean Penn is in Entertainment Weekly this month. They got a nice cover picture of him, and they talk about, I guess he's in a movie, Mystic River. That's probably the reason why he agreed to speak with him, because I understand he's one of those actors that doesn't do interviews. And so, which you ask yourself why that is, you know, why wouldn't actors, are they afraid, they're afraid of overexposure, is that it? I guess either way, folks, make no mistake, whether an actor gives an interview or he doesn't, it's commercially driven. It's motivated by his need to keep his face or his name in the public. In any event, Sean Penn says about our role in Iraq, and you know he went over to Iraq before the war started to look at the kids and to assess the situation. And people made fun of that. And he makes a claim in this article that he went over with his eyes open and he knew that they were going to try to manipulate him. A whole lot of stuff that it's easy to say after the fact. He said recently in Entertainment Weekly, it's no longer a matter of good intentions in Iraq. It's a matter of men of ill will. If that's an accurate quote, which they've got quote marks around it, I guess I'm assuming he's talking about men of ill will being like Cheney and Bush. These are guys of men of ill will. Okay. He says that President Bush is being guided by systemic puppetry. He says that, he goes on to talk about acting, but he says, you know ahead of time if you're being manipulated about his trip to Iraq. My eyes were pretty well open. They say, so why did you go? He starts off with a sentimentality that people rarely grant him. If there was a single mission I had, it was okay, I know there are kids in Iraq, just like my kids, I just need to see them before I speak to the issues, before I confirm all of the things I feel we've been lied to about. such as a connection between September 11th and Saddam, he says, and Iraq having nuclear weapons. Penn says he feels vindicated by recent statements by President Bush that modify original administration assertions that Saddam was amassing a deadly stockpile. But he goes further when he says the administration was really willing to lie to put their business interests over that of the American people, no matter what, and that continues. Sean Penn then says he's even thinking of going back to Baghdad and... Oh, no, 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 God, no. It says he's thinking of going back to Baghdad and writing some dispatches for the San Francisco Chronicle? Oh, come on. Are you guys, you're kidding with that, right? And the Chronicle editor, some guy by the name of Phil Bronstein, says he can see... Is that the guy that's married to what's-her-name? He's the Chronicle editor? Isn't he the guy that got his thing bit by that Snapdragon? Yeah, they couldn't get it off of his thing. It was so bite-sized. Anyway, I'm joking around. Come on. Anyway, he says, who cares what he says? He's written some vignettes. They're very fascinating. You know, Penn, I'm going to just say this about you, man. You know, you're fun. You're a lot of fun. You're so Hollywood, dude. You try to be an artist, but you're just a little punk son of some TV director. You know, yeah, you're a good actor for what it's worth. You're a good actor. But you're no brain surgeon, man, and you're no intellect, and sadly, you are no observer, man, of what's happening. And I don't care if you've been to every country in the world because you got the money to fly yourself, to fly your ass and your kids into Baghdad and get the government-sanctioned tour of Baghdad. And you went over with your eyes open, dude. Even you said when you came back that the Iraqis were lying about the things that you said. Even you said it yourself. As far as the connection between Saddam and September the 11th, are you... Come on, man. I mean, I know my brother-in-law is stupid, but you can't be. You're an actor. You're an artiste. You know, you're broad-minded and stuff. You must understand that the war is really against terror elements sponsored by these variety of countries, and as likely a target as any was Iraq. Are you really, man, all that upset about... I don't believe it, honest to God. I don't believe you can be all that upset about Saddam Hussein being gone, dude. Are you really... And when you went over and you saw those kids in the hospital, Ben, are you trying to tell me, really, seriously, that you think America put all those kids in the hospital? Is it possible Saddam Hussein might have done some of that? Were you thinking about maybe talking about that while you were over there, or were you afraid of maybe him, you know, sticking your thing into a meat grinder? I mean, I don't know. Well, I do, but 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Bill Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, high school coach Vernon Dozier, a high school football coach, said Michael Jackson's ruining it. He ruins it for the legitimate adults who sleep with children. Not for sex, but because it's for convenience. Like when he sleeps with his players when they're on the road for football games.
Bill Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
My comments to the coach. My point is, why does he have to have no underwear while he's in a hotel with his team?
Because
I don't understand. You know, that's not normal. That's my point. That's not normal.
I don't wear anything on my lower half because I've got a condition that needs airing out.
Oh, well, you got a whole bunch of kids,
God.
In this, and I don't think that's normal. Okay. And I wouldn't want my kid or any other body would want their kids with a coach with no underwears on in a hotel. Flying around with this Michael Jackson thing going around. Yes, Michael Jackson thing is tempting people's thoughts now towards that. So.
Well, I understand that, sir, but like I said, we relax the kids with Alanis Morissette music.
I understand that.
You know,
oh, that's good. I'm not judging you. Maybe you
Thank
are
you.
One of the good guys.
Thank you, sir.
But I don't agree with you not having any underwears. While if it was my kid... In a hotel. No, I won't be taller. And especially under the circumstances with all this thing going around with molestation.
Well,
you know, there's a lot of that stuff going around.
Yes, sir. I could totally agree. But At home, I enjoy sleeping with the window
at
open
home.
And no underwear on. And
at home,
yes, sir.
But
absolutely.
You're on the road with other people's kids. You are. You got to be responsible. You got to set an example. So being in a room with boxers, yeah, and a t-shirt gets hot. Yeah, shorts.
Right.
Carry some shorts. You don't have nothing under with a wife beater. A wife beater, it doesn't sound right. I wouldn't like that. Yeah.
Well, we try to put on some music that relaxes the kids. I give
you
an example.
Yeah, it's all good. But you're still not getting to. You're still.
What is this? What is this?
Hello?
This is, no, I can hear you, Lou.
Okay, listen.
Yes,
I'm
sir.
Just saying the music is good. All that's good, but the underwear part, it doesn't make any sense.
Can I mention to you, Lou, that if the kids are uptight, we put on the Celine Dion song from the Titanic, and we'll dance until the kid gets sleepy.
Again, I say I'm not judging you. Probably are one of the good guys. But
Thank you.
I'm saying is my kids are athletics. My kids play basketball, and they play sports.
Yes, sir.
But if I go in, if I see a coach, if I walk in a place and I see a coach with music relaxing and no underwears on, I'm going to be mad. I'm not going to take that too kindly.
I understand.
And I'm going to ask him, why is he running around a hotel with no underwears on?
Can I ask you a question? What if I was fully clothed and I was simply dancing with the boy to the Celine Dion song, slow dancing?
Well, under the
what do you mean slow dancing?
I still will ask my son. I won't like that either.
What is that slow dancing?
Because it relaxes the kid.
Yeah, why would you be slow dancing with a kid anyway?
Because
I take that back. No, I wouldn't like that. You're a coach. Your job is, you coach and you
can I ask you
wrestle.
A question? Do you,
I see you wrestling with a kid and goofing around like that, yeah, but slow dancing, no underwears, with candlelight, it's not right. Am I right, Phil?
I think so. I think it's absolutely right. And I can tell you something else. You guys on the Carolina Panthers.
Look, we're going to beat Dallas this weekend, so you can kiss my ass.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
There you go. Anybody get the Carolina Panther reference? Carolina Panther? Okay, Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, man. Slow dancing to the Celine Dion music. There he is, Coach Dozier, baby. Joe Dickhead coming up with his NFL picks. And the British, have been protesting President Bush, so we want to talk a little bit about that. I wanted to get more into the Michael Jackson situation. We also have a mailbag coming up. Some of your... your letters to us. Are we going to do another one of those Thanksgiving memory lanes or no? We are today? Okay. Anyway, Iraq. See, you always got to weigh in on Iraq. Otherwise, this is going to get way out of control. The stupidity about what's happening in Iraq and Turkey now is breathtaking. It's breathtaking. It really is. It's just, oh my God. It's takes your breath away. How dumb. Not only Americans, but now the British are. Now the British, first of all, the British are very much in favor of what we're doing in Iraq. That's number one. Number two, those jive-ass Brits that are like pulling Bush's statue down to make it look like what we did with Hussein. Are they kidding? I mean, sometimes I hear these people say, I remember when I was a young guy and we used to compare Lyndon Johnson during the Vietnam War. Lyndon Johnson to a fascistic style leader. It was very youthful. And frankly, what we were doing in Vietnam had absolutely no justification at all. I mean, look, you gotta understand something. I get it. I lived it. I've been there. All the anti-Vietnam stuff, I was there, man. I took part in an anti-Vietnam demonstration. I was a member of a chapter of Students for a Democratic Society, which later broke off into the Weather Underground, which I wasn't a part of, but those were the guys that were planting bombs all over the freaking place. I understand all about America, the big, bad money machine. This is not news, man, to a whole lot of people. When you stand there and you say that it's like, a war for oil and it's a big corporate greed thing and we're being lied to, you're like so redundant and so repetitive of so many things that have already been said. When I tell dumbass, my brother-in-law, that he sounds just like 1969, he doesn't get it because he thinks that it all started he thinks the whole idea of America being some manipulative, power-mongering, war-mongering nation just started with Saddam Hussein. You know, the idea and the accusation America is a horrible place that manipulates war for profit goes back over 100 years. There were people who were against our involvement in World War I because they felt it was the capitalist classes versus the working classes. There were people who were against our involvement in World War II because they were isolationists and they believed that we had no business in the politics of Europe and Germany was just sorting out its place in the world. There have been people who have constantly protested America's military involvement, and I've been one of them. The Vietnam exercise was a classic exercise, and thank God it was the last of its kind, where the United States felt it could go anywhere in the world and do battle with what we perceived to be the worst threat at that time, communism. And that Vietnam, if it fell to communism, would lead to communism in Laos, Cambodia, Thailand, Burma, India, and so on and so forth. I get it, man. I understand that. When you're pumping a big sign in the air comparing Bush to Hitler, this ain't nothing new. It's dumb, but it ain't new. And it's more to the point, whether it's new or not, it's wrong. It's stupid. It's lame. The Iraq War bears no comparison whatsoever with Vietnam. And guys like Sean Penn, this wannabe intellectual, this guy who thinks if he curls his lip and has a cigarette hanging out of his face, that he somehow conjures James Dean. Forget it, son. Forget it. Papa was a TV director. You got a silver spoon up your ass when you were born. You know, you're a great actor. I'll give you that. And everything else you do, man, I wouldn't know from Adam, and it's probably not as good as most people. So why don't you shut your trap? You're such a Hollywood boy. You really are, man. You're a Hollywood boy trying to posture as what? What are you, Jean-Paul Sartre? Are you Arthur Rimbaud? Huh? Do you think you're Humphrey Bogart, man? Is that what you think you are? You're just sitting there in a black and white photo with Clint Eastwood talking about the art of making another bad movie? Which, by the way, Eastwood, do us all a big favor and stop making movies, okay? Because, oh my God. I've been a huge fan of Clint Eastwood's for years. But that piece of crap, that blood work, I just saw it on TV because I said to my wife, oh, this is the movie with that actress that I sat next to on the airplane. She goes, oh, okay. So we sat down. Oh, my God. A minute later, I said, do you mind? Oh, she said, no, please. I turned it on. I said, I can't stand it. First of all, Eastwood, you're too old to act. You're wheezing now. You're going, I think what we should do is go to the store for some cigarettes. I mean, what are you, Jack Palance, without the menace, without the classic face? You know, your movies blow, man, okay? Unforgiven, great stuff. All that Sergio Leone stuff, great stuff. What else was good that he did? What'd you like? Yeah, I like that Bronco Billy bullcrap. You know that one with the ape? What was that called? The one where he's every which way but loose. That stuff kicked ass. Iger Sanction was cool. Yeah. All that ape, the ape movie stuff kicked ass. This crap with the blood work. And what was that piece of crap he did where he played the... He played that clown from the National Enquirer. He was a washed-up tabloid reporter. True crime. A turd. Anyway, I don't mean to pull you into this, Mr. Eastwood, but why not? As long as we're on a freaking roll over here. Look, Penn. You ain't James Dean. You ain't Montgomery Clift. You ain't Marlon Brando. You ain't Robert De Niro. Robert De Niro isn't even Robert De Niro anymore. Robert De Niro is just whatever the hell he is. Big fat guy with a beard. You're more like, I don't know what you are, man, but you know, one thing you ain't the world-traveling intellectual that you think you are. And the San Francisco Chronicle sending your ass over to Baghdad? Oh, that's a hoot. Hoo-hoo! Can't wait for that one. What did this guy say? Wants to see your little vignettes from the streets of Baghdad? Where are you going to live, man? Huh? Are you going to be guarded by the... You're going to go to Baghdad now, and you're going to get the real story now? Why didn't you get the real story when you were over there sucking Saddam Hussein, huh? Why didn't you do it then? You know what? I think you're Saddam's boy, Sean. I really do. I think you're his boy, and I think when you were over there, you were doing his bidding. I think he's got a little private room for you and him with videotapes. What do you think of that? I think you're his freaking boy, man. Now you're going to go to Baghdad and get the real story. Now when you can, like, spit on an American soldier, maybe, huh? Lift your leg to the flag or whatever the hell it is that you jackasses do who think that you're just so on the edge culturally, whatever you cats do with the, you know, the movie career, man. Is that what you do? You're going to go over and get the big story now that you're going to have the freedom to go around and crap all over the U.S. Presence there. You know, there's guys that are dying over there right now. There are soldiers that are doing one hell of a job rooting out a real scumbag and elements of other scumbags that killed a whole lot of people, one of whom you might have known. He was a TV executive, wasn't he? That guy, what was his name, Janice? The guy, the TV guy that died in the 9/11, David Engel. David Engel. Maybe Penn. Did you know him? He died, man. Now, there's American soldiers in Iraq right now. A lot of them are dying. They want to be there. They want to do the job, despite the fact there's a whole lot of hand-wringing, nervous, sweaty-palmed jackasses in America who think they know what's best for the soldiers. The soldiers are doing the job the commander-in-chief asked them to do. They're happy to be there. And if you read one column about some crybaby pussy who wants to come home, it's just that one guy. And you're going to go over there now, and you're going to disrespect those guys and write your crap when you could have done it. You went over there the first time with your wife and your kids or whatever the hell you did. You could have done it then, man. Why not? You didn't want to disrespect your pal, Saddam Hussein, huh? What, was he keeping your side of the bed warm? What a freaking jail boy. You are, man. You're a jail punk. You're Saddam's bitch. Somewhere out there in the woods, he's waiting for you. Somewhere out in the wild, man, he's keeping a camel warm for you, brother. Ah, I'm only kidding. Here, let's dance. All right, 1-800-449-8686. You remember that movie Bad Boys? There you go. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
One 800 449 8686. And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
This is Joe Dickhead from high atop the Sunset Strip in Hollywood with the NFL picks.
And I'm the professor. For the next several minutes, Joe will give you the picks while I fondle him.
Girl, close your eyes. Let that rhythm get in.
Coming up, Carolina-Dallas. I like the Dallas Cowboys in this football game. I think Carolina is due for a big fall. And I think that Joe Parcells, or what's his name, Bill Parcells? What is his name?
I'm busy. I'm fondling you.
Oh, Bill Parcells, I think we'll have his team ready for a Carolina ball club that is due for a big fall.
And I continue to fondle the Joe Dickhead.
Thank you. Indianapolis at Buffalo. We like the Indianapolis Colts. We think Buffalo is done for this season. Tony Judge, you've got a football team playing good football. New England and Houston, the New England Patriots, all the way over the Houston Texans, who are really cheap early power this football league, that's for sure.
I'm the professor. I continue to fondle Joe.
Pittsburgh and Cleveland. I like the Pittsburgh Steelers. Cleveland, cheap early power as well. Bill Cowher, how is he? Play well. Forget the Cincinnati Bengals. They're going to win that division. Are you kidding me? San Francisco at Green Bay. The Green Bay Packers at home at Lambeau Field. How can you lose? It's Green Bay over San Francisco. St. Louis in Arizona. I like the St. Louis Rams. Just don't tickle. Just touch lightly.
And I am the professor, and I continue to follow you.
Oakland to Kansas City. I like the Kansas City Chiefs. Washington at Miami. It's the Washington Redskins. Yeah! Upset special this week, baby. Watch Washington take a very depleted and a very demoralized Miami Dolphins football team right out of the play down there. This is Joe Dickhead's picks. I'm giving you the NFL picks this week while the professor fondles me. Detroit and Minnesota. I like the Minnesota Vikings. Jacksonville at the New York Jets. The Jacksonville Jaguars. New Orleans at Philadelphia. Be the New Orleans Saints. Seattle at Baltimore. The Seattle Seahawks. Chicago and Denver. Denver. I like Cincinnati and San Diego winning that game, Tennessee and Atlanta, Tennessee. And on Monday night, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers over the New York Giants. This is Joe Dickhead.
And I'm the professor.
And he's been fondling me all this time. And now I just...
Hold.
What's that, Phil?
Hold on.
Are we on the...
Yeah, we're on the... Hold on. Turn it off. I just walked in from the can. What is this?
Well, he told me to do it.
I didn't tell you to do anything, Phil. I thought a very good thing to do for our NFL picks would be for us to play Michael Jackson music and he'd fondle me.
He wasn't fondling you, really.
Of course not.
So what you guys did is you just lazied your way through a bit. You just said, he's fondling me, and you played Michael Jackson music, and you gave a bunch of more of your cornball bits, your cornball picks, and you didn't do jack.
I gave my picks, Phil. Might I remind you that I am 86 and 51 or something.
Who cares what you are? 63%, whatever. Next time you come in here, do some of those bits like you guys used to do, like you could be on the roller coaster and stuff like that. He's fondling me.
Well, he made me do it.
All right, Professor, I understand.
Oh, you take his side, do you? How are you, lying, backstabbing douchebag? Why, I'll have you...
Shut up. Next week, they're going to do something cool. I guarantee it, or they're fired. 1-800-449-8686. What did he say? He said... Jacksonville over the Jets? Ow! Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, all I got to say to you, Michael, good luck, man, because with as many people as want to see you burn down for this thing, you haven't got a prayer, man. You haven't got a chance. I don't care if you're as innocent as a newborn baby's rear end, brother. You're a dead man. You're done. Everybody wants to see you burn down for this one. Everyone. All the talk show hosts, all the talking heads on TV, all of those phony, baloney purveyors of public decency. You know, the people that are just so upset with child molestation. You know, those people who are nonetheless will show the pictures of your children on TV, even though you don't want your children, who are supposedly innocent of any wrongdoing. You don't want their faces on TV. That doesn't stop Fox News from sticking them up there. You know, that's the same network that's fair and balanced, and you decide, or stuff it. Whichever comes first. Michael Jackson just stated the following: lies run sprints, but the truth runs marathons. I just can't stop loving you. If I would have had that tune, man, yeah. All right, 1-800-449-8686. The other statement here, the attorney for the father of the 12-year-old boy in the center of the Michael Jackson controversy spoke to the media Thursday evening. This guy's name is H. Russell Halper. He represents this turd who's the father to this poor little boy. He says, my client was never convicted of any abuse. He said the father lost custody of his son because the boy's mother accused him of abuse, but those charges were dropped. Well, I don't know what you call abuse, but the guy was charged... He was charged with cruel and inhuman corporal punishment. It resulted in a traumatic condition. The boy's father pleaded no contest last year, no contest to a single misdemeanor charge of willful cruelty to a child, for which he had to take a court-ordered parenting class. Is that abuse? What is that? I don't know. I don't know. Is that considered abuse, or is it just willful cruelty? 1-800-449-8686. Here is David. David?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Oh, this is Phil?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's up, man? First of all, I'd like to say I really respect what you do.
What do I do?
Your whole thing on the radio and whatnot. Oh. And I'm a young black man from Tampa. I read in the sports section of the Tribune you pretty much called out Warren Sapp.
Yes, I did.
And I don't know. I kind of take heart to that issue in a way that I think you're being a little bit too judgmental, man.
Why could you possibly take issue with a guy who says like a cat like Sap, who fathers illegitimate children, and then the women have to come after him for the money? How could you take issue with that?
I mean, you don't know the whole situation, man.
I know the guy fathered children, and then he denied the paternity. Come on. Get out of here. This is a joke call, right? Is this Warren?
Is this Warren?
Are you Warren Sapp?
No, I'm not Warren Sapp.
Well, you're putting me on. You don't sound like you even believe what you're saying.
I mean, what I'm saying is that, I mean, every person's situation...
But can I ask you a question seriously? That article appeared weeks ago. What are you calling now for?
Because I felt like it.
Is this Keyshawn Johnson?
No, this is not Keyshawn Johnson.
It's Michael Pittman. That's who it is.
No, it's not Mike Pittman.
Is this John Gruden?
No, this isn't John Gruden.
Well, go ahead, Simeon. You were saying?
What I was saying is that, I mean, sometimes you radio people have kind of an inflated sense of self-importance. And
I'm nothing. I'm nothing. And I say that. But, you know, Warren Sapp, he ain't anything either. And he doesn't say that. All he does is go out onto a football field like a clown for 3 hours a week and prance and do his thing. And I'm supposed to think that that's something special. He gets paid good bread. Good for him. But it doesn't give him a pass as a man. And to be honest with you, David, and you won't like this, but one of the major problems concerning the low life condition for a lot of young African-American men especially is that there is no father in the family. And Warren Sapp is one of the reasons why there is a rise in brutal crime in those communities. Guys like him leaving young men fatherless. You want to know why there's a gang problem among especially young African-American men? Because of scumbags like Warren Sapp. All right, well, the guy obviously either hung up or purposefully did that. Because of scumbags, but I'd like to thank Seal for calling. And anyway, 1-800-449-8686. He's got his new album out, isn't it? You've been talking about Warren Sapp. Are you kidding me? Of all the guys in the world to be defending, he ain't it. Warren Sapp is not the guy. Even he knows it. And that football team sucks. 1 year after winning a Super Bowl, and they can't even get it together to get back to the playoffs. That's how demoralized they are. You know why? Because they know that every single thing guys like me say is true. Gruden doesn't have control over that football team. There's no men of character on that team. Do you understand? You know, it's one thing to win a championship. You want to repeat? You got to have some guts and character. I don't know. There's got to be some continuity of spirit. And when you're just a piece of crap and you know you are, and you're more concerned with people calling you out on it, you can't think about football. Warren Sapp hasn't had his mind on one football game this year. Not one. Neither has that Pittman scumbag, and neither has anybody else on that football team. They've been too worried about their press. Sapp is you know, he continues to implode before our very eyes. Gruden's got no control over the team. His response to controlling the team is to cut Keyshawn Johnson. I don't know what he's guilty of doing other than saying, Gruden, you know, you ain't doing the job, which frankly he ain't. So Gruden cuts him. Why don't you cut that big fat slob Sapp instead? I ain't heard about Keyshawn Johnson getting involved in drugs lately. Maybe I'm wrong. Am I not reading the newspaper? Is Johnson involved in any drug problem, any child molestation problem, any abandoning children problem? Keyshawn's going to be on Fox NFL Sunday to tell all. You know, he's got a big fat mouth, I recognize that, but if that ain't no crime, and I got no problem with guys with a big mouth. I never had a problem with Deion Sanders. He's colorful, if you'll forgive the expression. I forgive all. What I will not put up with, what I will not be silent about, and what I will continue to talk about, much to the chagrin of whoever, and I don't give a crap, is the promotion of the National Football League of criminal mentality and criminal arrogance among its players in the NBA, in Major League Baseball, everywhere. And I mean specifically, when I'm talking, I'll even draw the line, man, if you smoke weed, I guess that's your business. Those imbeciles that play for the Portland Trailblazers, and man, they've got a bunch of them, which proves that you don't have to be a Phi Beta Kappa to play that stupid game. And frankly, I'm not a basketball fan, forgive me. I'm a Laker fan, I like them when they're doing well, and when they're not, I'm bored. Basketball, it don't do it for me. I like baseball. I don't dig hockey. I'm not into any of that crap. I like to watch football, and occasionally I like to beat my wife. And that's it. Now, so I'll give you anything, man. If these guys are getting popped for smoking dope, and I don't mean even like they're possessing it for sale, you know what I'm going to do? Maybe I'll look the other way. I don't know what to say about that. My kids are not to use drugs. I don't want them using any of that stuff. I'll beat them within an inch of their lives if I find them using it. And that's just the way it is. No, I don't hit them. But, you know, I say that, and maybe it'll get back to them.
I heard your dad the other day on the air, and he was saying he'd beat you up if you smoked this weed. Oh, I'll pass.
But when it comes to domestic abuse, beating up women, murder, not paying your child support, things like that, I'm sorry, man, I ain't going to be quiet about that. It just isn't going to happen. And these guys increasingly are emboldened to this behavior because the sports talk hosts are gutless. Gutless wonders, every last one of them. So busy sucking the kneecaps of their big-time heroes, those guys don't do any journalism. They just sit there and they suck the thighs of all these guys, and they do the, hey, baby, gonna go for the big three-peat, huh? The big S at the big A. And, you know, all that bull crap, you know, that Chris Berman, God, the day you came on the scene with your nicknames, you don't know what you started. Anyway. All that stuff is just to cover up the fact they don't do any reporting. They just sit, all they do is they're just hacks. You know, they just promote the careers of these guys. And that's it. All due respect. The players don't give any respect. The owners and the coaches give no respect. They treat the sports media generally like worms. And then they turn around and they tell us what a hard job they got. That's the one that makes me laugh until I pee. They talk about the hard job they've got. I know exactly what you do, man. You play football, and physically it's punishing. I understand that. Beyond that, it's a child's game, and you're an idiot. And be thankful you're making the money that you make, and you get no sympathy from me. You're a candy ass if you're complaining about playing football for a living. You understand what I'm saying? A real candy ass, man. A real lightweight. Just like that guy. I remember listening to that one guy, Brian Cox, complaining about football being a business and all this. What a candy ass you were, Cox. A real nothing. Same with Sapp. Same with all those guys. Guy says, why am I dogging Sapp? There are millions of young men living in poverty today, many of them African-American. Why? Because their fathers ran out. Because there's a gutless generation of black men who couldn't raise their sons. And as a result, these kids fall into gangs. And one of that gutless generation of black men happens to be Warren Sapp. And he can kiss my Irish you-know-what. Call him out, sure. I'm calling him out. On my turf. This is my turf, see? This is the radio turf. Say, well, you got guts, Phil. When I'm on my turf, I got a lot of guts. The radio turf is the world of ideas and elocution. I kick Warren Sapp's ass around the block for drill on my turf. I'm not asking to go play football with him. But if he sticks his face in a newspaper, if he becomes a media maven, if he thinks he's got it going on when it comes to the broadcast media and he's a real entertaining interview, I'll give him an interview he'll never forget. He'll never forget it. So the Tampa Bay Buccaneers blow. Their whole organization sucks. How many different ways do you want me to put it? You understand? And you guys ain't going anywhere. And nice going Green Bay last week. By the way, I talked to one of the Green Bay coaches. They said it was funny watching them drive it right up your rear ends in that last drive. They laughed their asses sick on the sidelines. Because they said it shut you guys up. Good going, Packers. Who are they playing this weekend? Bucks? Oh, here it is. The Giants. Well, at least it's at home. Oh, you mean the last week's game was at home, too? Oh, I'm sorry. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up, we got Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police to talk about how, if he hears people talking, you know, that they believe Michael Jackson's guilty, he may tell you to shut up, because he don't dig that. Our CD signing for our Best of the Phil Hendry Show 2003 CD is happening tomorrow, our very first of the year. This is our new CD, The Death of Talk Radio. It is a two-CD set. It contains over 140 minutes of outstanding radio comedy. I mean, the best you'll ever hear anywhere. It's from our show. It just happens to be from our show. I don't know how that happened, but we'll be at Yankee Doodles in Woodland Hills, Saturday, November 22nd. That's tomorrow, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. It's at 21870 Victory Boulevard. You can get off at Topanga Canyon, go north off of the 101 freeway, get off at Topanga Canyon and go north. That's tomorrow at Yankee Doodles in Woodland Hills, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Oh, do I got to hurry up? Oh, sorry. And now it's time for a walk down memory lane. This comes from Doc. He says, why don't you get that chef fellow that always almost has a heart attack while describing his recipes to give us some turkey recipes with some really unconventional stuffing? It's a memory lane from November of 2001 with Chef Carl Chedilia.
And now the Phil Hendry Show presents Chef Carl Chedilia, the fattest, most obese, disgusting, right on the verge of grease-induced thrombosis chef there is. He's large, and he's got lard-laden recipes for you. Here he is, Chef Carl Chedilia. Chef?
Hey, everybody. How you doing? This is Chef Carl Chedilia. I just love it, man. Let's have ourselves a big Thanksgiving. We're going to have a big, rich Thanksgiving dinner and lots of grease and cream. So let's get out our cookbooks and get a nice big... First, I'm going to pour myself a White Russian because I want to have a hot tail. Ah, goddamn. You know, I sound like I can barely talk because I'm so large and there's fat in my mouth. And everything. I have a fat mouth. And the reason for that is I eat a lot of food I eat. The song's called Volare, by the way. It's great. I wanna, before I cook, I always sing. So let me sing for you, okay? Volare.
Put the chef on the... Lay him on the floor. Lay him on the floor. Clear!
Ah, thank you very much.
All right, chef.
Ah, oh, boy, it's like how White Russia had some cream laden. Okay, so let's get back to our recipe. Hey, you know, Thanksgiving's come up. It's a fantastic time. It's a time to take a big barbell turkey and you deep fry it. Boy, there's nothing I like better when people say deep fry food, because that means they're deep frying and they're crisping on the outside, all grease and fat and cream and butter going right to the middle of the turkey. Huh? Isn't that right? So get a big deep fryer, take that turkey and shove it in and just cook it. Cook it until it's thick and it's soaked with grease. And you take out a cup and shove the food. Don't even use utensils. Just cut off a big slice. Use it and then shove it in your mouth using the palm of your hand. Just the heel of your hand and shove it in there.
Chef Carl Chedilia will be back with more in just a moment.
Hey, everybody, this is Chef Carl Chedilia. I want to tell you all about my cookbook. You get my cookbook, and it is going to be every kind of delicious recipe. So you get my cookbook, and you can look up anything you want to cook. Duck, beaver, bear, cat, dog, anything. It's fantastic. You wrap your lips around my beaver, you'll love it. That's the Chef Carl Chedilia cookbook.
Now back to Chef Carl Chedilia.
Where was I? Okay, now what you do is you inject the turkey with a heavy cream and then deep fry it until the cream becomes congealed and hardened, almost like plastic. And then you take that bird out, put it on a plate. It is delicious. Now comes the big one. I want you to surround a big turkey with strips of bacon. Take a big strip of bacon and a lot of bacon grease taken from a 4-H fattened pig. But you gotta go to the 4-H club and go up the kid, hey, take it in. Can I use your pig? I want to cook it and eat it. And you know, oh, no, oh, no. And you hit the kid. You literally slap him across the face and take his big fat pig. Take that pig over your house and stick a knife in it and kill it and then cook it. And then take all that fat pig grease and dump it all over that damn turkey. That's delicious. Now we're going to be back and tell you about dessert just a minute here.
Chef Carl Chedilia will be back with dessert in just a moment here on the Chef Carl, or whatever the hell his name is.
Carl Chedilia.
Carl Chedilia Show.
Hey, everybody, Carl Chiodilli. You know one thing I love to do with my wife is after we have sex, I like to lay in bed and eat a bowl of pasta until all of the pasta juice is on the bed and my wife can't stand it and has to sleep on the floor. And you can do the same thing if you get the Chef Carl Chiodilli cookbook. You'll make a big meatball, a big pasta and everything, and get in the bed and go... your wife will be disgusted, and she'll have to sleep in another room.
And now back to more of Chef Carl Chiodilia here on the Carl Chiodilia Show.
Okay, so we've told you so far how to deep fry that turkey and then go to the 4-H Club and take a kid's pig away from him and stab it and cook it. Now let's take that beautiful mass of stuffing. That's right, you gotta stuff a turkey. All right, now take that big, for the stuffing, mix a fat drench with breadcrumbs and cream so thick the spoon stands up by itself. That's all I want you to do. Take the cream and fat and grease and take it from underneath the sink. You know those big cans that your mother puts the bacon drippings in? Take the grease and stick it down with some cream and shove a spoon that stands up straight. Then you know you have it. And you pour that inside a turkey, okay? And then sew it up and throw it into an oven and light the house on fire and burn it down. And then when you put the house out, the turkey should be cooked.
Yes, it's been the Chef Carl Chiodilia Show. For more recipes, write Chef Carl Chiodilia in care of this station.
Sick bastard, isn't he? Carl Chiodilia down memory lane from November 2001. And, you know, have you ever seen those recipes, though, where you, like, cook a goose inside of a turkey? What kind of fat glutton must somebody be? 1-800-449-8686. Jay Santos coming up later on in the program, The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
One of the great things about doing our radio show is I have two great guys that work with me, Mark Newman, my engineer, and my associate producer, Chris Pellman. And while we're doing our breaks, it's very entertaining to hear the two of them go back and forth with your mom jokes. All right. 1-800-449-8686. Now, Jermaine Jackson's weighed into the Michael Jackson thing, and two things that I want to point out about the interview he did with Barbara Walters, one of which I really got to throw the 15-yard penalty flag on, the other of which I completely recognize as a valid concern. First of all, he says that this investigation into his brother is racially motivated. I don't agree with that. I don't have any real sense of that, and I'm not saying that I got any facts. Nobody can really say for sure. I think, though, more to the point, it's not that Michael Jackson's black, it's that Michael Jackson looks like a freak that they really want to get this guy. I think Michael Jackson has transcended black. I mean, I don't mean any disrespect, but I'm saying he's so freaky, he's so scary to a lot of people that I think they just, like I said, you know, I've been using these horror movie metaphors, and Janice and Chris are laughing at me for it, but every time I think of this, I think of another horror movie. Like The Wolfman. You know this woman who dangles her kid in front of a man who may be a child molester? What do you call her? What do you call somebody like that? She had to share the same cell with Michael Jackson, if that's the case. And it's almost like a Michael Jackson who, maybe the cat's trying to stay away from it, right? And along comes this white trash who she smells money. So, you know, it's like Lawrence Talbot in The Wolfman. He says, no matter what you hear coming out of that room tonight, don't open the door. And, you know, Lou Costello goes, what are you talking about? You're okay. And then he unlocked the door, and the Wolfman came out and kicked Lou Costello's ass. The Wolfman kicked Lou's ass. So what do you call her? But anyway, Jermaine Jackson says it's racially motivated. I think that's kind of a pea-brain approach to it. Personally, Mr. Jackson, no offense. I think it's more to the point is, this guy, Michael Jackson, has been in the crosshairs of a sheriff or a DA up in Santa Barbara who sees himself as some kind of media star or a possible media star, making the with the jokes, standing there in front of the cameras. God, you know, curse the day that they ever stuck cameras in front of anybody, man. It's you don't even know if you get the truth anymore out of people. They're just up there. They're doing a soft shoe. Suddenly, the story of child molestation becomes a yuck time for this hick DA up there in Santa Barbara, which I know somebody probably has told him, hey, Snedden, do us all a big favor, okay? Calm it down, all right? We're getting our asses kicked the last 3 days because of your fat mouth. Yes, sir. Thank you. Although I don't know who he takes his orders from. But the other thing that Jermaine Jackson said you have to face, and it's something you must face. If you're African American, you understand what he's saying. If you're not, you must understand that this is a real concern and has been for many, many years in the African American community because it has been their experience as a culture, a subculture, if you will. And that is, those cops going into that house don't represent necessarily people taking things out as they represent people who might be putting things in. Now, you can say that's crazy, but unless you're black, you don't know what the hell it is you're talking about, and that's just all there is to it. That's just all there is to it. How do I know? Well, I don't need to know. I fundamentally believe that this has been the experience of African-American people in this country for since time began, that cops set them up. That cops are crooked. That cops plant things. Because there have been so many people hung from so many trees in this country. I mean, after a war, you know, if you live in that community, you live in that culture, you're like, yeah, I believe it. So an African-American, on average, may not necessarily trust some cop walking into his house saying he's going to take stuff out. Because as far as that guy's concerned, he's planting stuff. Okay? So now maybe some of you guys understand all of the what many people consider to be the stupidity behind the actions of the OJ jury. Point of fact, it's you know, there's a book out called Two Nations. It's so true. It just really is. And it is every bit as much the fault of white America as it is black America. I know whites like to blame blacks. You know, just do everybody a favor and shut up. Fact is, we are two nations. And the experience of one side, the white people, and the experience of the other side, black people, is completely different in a lot of ways. White folks experience cops differently. Black folks experience cops differently. That's just all there is to it. And you may think it's silly. From your standpoint, maybe it is. But from a guy's standpoint who's seen it happen to friends of his, or he's been pulled over because he's not driving a car that a cop thinks he should be driving. I had a girlfriend who was African-American in Minnesota. She used to work for a TV station. She was driving the TV station van one day. Some idiot citizen of Minneapolis, some white jackass, called up the police and said, I saw a black person driving the WCCO TV van. You better pull it over. Cops pulled her over. She's an employee. But because she's black, she's driving a TV station van. Well, that ain't right. You believe that? Now, you may think that cop's an idiot, and you may think that citizen's an idiot. That happens everywhere. Well, not in America today, Phil. Those things are a thing of the past. No, they're not. Get your freaking head out of your ass. Now, I ain't saying that every cat gets set up. I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's a concern that people have. And one of the problems are the cops themselves. Every time the city of Los Angeles has to pay out a big piece of change to another African-American who gets his ass beat out here on the street, was that the LAPD that did that plastic surgeon from Miami? Thanks a lot. Either you guys have got to do something. I don't know what you're doing with recruiting. And yeah, I get it. You know, he moved on you, right? Did he push you? Did he do something which necessitated you guys to damage him to the point where he can't perform surgery anymore? Get some cops over there that are professionals, will you? In the name of everything holy. Hasn't this city seen enough of that? Where are you freaking recruiting these guys from anywhere? Yeah, these guys are out here now. That Ramparts division, that's a whole pack of scumbags. They're finally cleaning those guys out. We got these guys that are beating the crap out of everybody. The taxpayers got to pay the freaking dance. Then I got to sit there looking at the Rodney King stuff, and these coppers are saying they're going by the book. Maybe they were. But guess what, man? Nobody believes you. Well, why not? Because you cats haven't been trustworthy in the past. You guys lie. You guys plant evidence. Well, now do you, right when you want somebody to believe you, think anybody's going to believe you? Every now and again, something, you know, there's vindication. Every now and again, a videotape comes out, and the police are actually acting according to the book, and some scumbag lawyer comes along and says he's going to get this guy another $56 million like Rodney King, because it looked like the cops were roughing him up, and the judge and the jury and everybody in the community says, pound it up your ass, get out of here. Like that Inglewood thing. But then you come along here, this doctor comes out here from Miami, he's on vacation, he's in a rental car, what does he get for his trouble? What does he get for coming to our fair city? He gets the crap kicked out of him by the good old LAPD. Nice going. You think I like that? I happen to support the police. 150%. It's really hard to do when you got a bunch of cowboy jackasses like that. The guy's in a freaking rental car, you idiots. Stolen car. So put it all together, and what do you got? I'll tell you what you got. You got a jury pool. If you get enough African Americans on that jury, just like in the OJ case, you think that when a guy says to them, "Well, we found this in the house." Oh, really? Yeah. When did you put it there? Look right through those guys. Don't worry about it. It happens. Right now, though, that's about the only hope that Michael Jackson's got, because everybody and his mother wants to see this guy burn down for this thing. And I mean everybody. I've never seen more hatred for a man, not even OJ, than I see for Michael Jackson. But you know what? It's like everything else. I'm on one side of this thing. This man is as loved as he is hated. He's as admired as he is hated. For as many people that want to see this guy go inside for this thing, there's just as many people that want to see him. They want to believe it's not true. Right? That's what people who are brilliant at what they do and who move us emotionally as artists, like Michael Jackson, that's what happens, man. They polarize everything. So, anyway, watch out for that, okay? And Jermaine, I'm sure you're fine, brother. Don't stick your race card back up your thing, please. 1-800-449-8686, the best of the year 2000 CD on the Phil Henry Show, The Death of Talk Radio. Listen, if you can't be with us tomorrow at Yankee Doodles in Woodland Hills on Saturday the 22nd from 11 to 1, right there on Victory Boulevard, if you can't be with us, you can call and order the CD at 877-616-7445, 877-616-7445, to order The Death of Talk Radio.
Bill Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
Time for our mailbag on The Phil Henry Show. Just a few little pieces of mail here. This one from Steve Knight. Phil, why do you call everyone that disagrees with you a hick? Is it because you're a liberal from the People's Republic of California and you're better than us? Steve Knight. Hi, Phil. Great show as always. I find it ironic that terrorist propaganda has gone from the rain of planes of death will not stop to the cars of death will continue after the Turkey bombings. Yesterday, they used a donkey cart to launch a missile attack in Iraq. They should say the flood of donkey carts of death will not stop. That's from Callum Benepe. Phil, thanks for your positive comments about Dare on Wednesday night's show. I thought your comments about the Trailblazers were accurate, and I enjoyed your commentary very much. Perhaps Jay Santos should pay a visit to the locker room. Just a thought. Pat Hess, Dare officer, Oregon State Dare training facilitator. I feel really sorry for you cats up there. You know, every kid has to graduate from Dare in the sixth grade here in California, I think. And is Duke doing that, Chris? Yeah, because Catherine, our kid, she just did it. And you know what it is? It basically says to a kid, this is no way to live as a kid. This is no way to live as a kid, right? Then along comes the NBA, and they ask you to bring your children to their games while their slobs are out there on the floor. Their drug addicts are on the floor. It ain't going to happen, okay, NBA? Ain't going to happen anymore, all right? Hey, David Stern, Why don't you get control over that freaking league? Good sweet God. Oh, I'm sorry, you're making a lot of money? You already got enough control? All right. Phil, I live in Santa Barbara, and let me tell you that the DA here, Tom Snetton, is full of bullcrap. I'd be surprised if the evidence he has against Jacko... I wouldn't be surprised if the evidence he has against Jacko is weak. He's just doing it for the publicity. It's whack. Your show rules. You're an artist. Scully P. P.S. What is a rube? Like a hick. Hi, Phil. My personal favorite funny line was when Steve Bozell was eating the hot dog at the backyard cookout he had, and his wife, April, told him it was bad enough you had a wad of mayonnaise on your chin that made it look like... Oh, man. My personal favorite funny line was when Steve Bozell... God! My personal favorite funny line was when Steve Bozell was eating the hot dog at the backyard cookout he had, and his wife, April, told him it was bad enough you had a wad of mayonnaise... I can't say it. It was bad enough you had a wad of mayonnaise on your chin that made it look like you took one off the face. I almost wrecked my big rig when you said that. Love the show. Say hi to Lloyd for me. Michael Rodriguez in Byron, Georgia. It's our mailbag today on the Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Yeah, that Dare. You know, if I was Dare, I'd completely... Why is Dare, which is a program designed to try desperately to keep kids from becoming junkies and sick drug freaks... like some we've heard of in recent days, why do you associate yourselves at all with the NBA? Why? Why let yourself in for the heartache? I understand. I know that you need to hook up with some kind of a role model. You need to go where the kids are. I get it. It's got to be some other way. It's got to be something kids are involved in that's clean. Kids that are interested in. What about like extreme sports? I mean, not all those guys are whack. I mean, a few of them smoke some weed, but none of them... Huh? Who? Tony Hawk? How about chess clubs? I don't know. I mean, I'm just trying to give you Dungeons and Dragons. Something that gives you an alternative to having to associate with these people that disgrace you. Now, this is day I don't know what, that our faxes and emails continue to go into the Portland Trailblazers to get one of those guys on the air with us, all right? I mean, one of these days, the Phil Hendry Show will come across one pair of balls in the United States of America. We ain't found it yet. We're looking. We're like Diogenes, looking for the honest man, right? Was that the guy that was looking for the honest man, Diogenes? He had the lamp and he went from town to town. Well, we're looking for one solid pair of balls in this entire country. We have so far, our travels have taken us through the L.A. Lakers. Nope, none there. On to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Nope, none there. On to the Pittsburgh Pirates. Nope, there sure as hell ain't any there. On to, wherever we go. Through the agents of Jennifer Aniston, Johnny Depp, who, by the way, is the sexiest man alive, according to People magazine. The sexiest man alive. Alive. Now, in other words, not the sexiest movie actor, but anywhere at any time, Johnny Depp's the sexiest man alive. From People magazine, the magazine that gave you the cover that said, anorexia, what can we do about this heartbreak that's killing our daughters? And then you opened it up, and they're making fun of Mariah Carey because her ass is too fat. Boy, there's not any cats from People listening. I'd love to get you guys on the show and ask you about your dopey magazine. I said it once before, not that anybody's asking me to be in their magazine, but one of these days they might. If this TV show takes off, right? Suppose they ask me to be in their magazine. Guess what I'm going to say? How much does it pay? No, I'm going to... Who'd want to be in that magazine? They always pose you. Like I said, you're sitting in a bathtub or they show you sitting around a cutting board with your wife while you're chopping celery. Holding the cat? How about one of you masturbating? Would they put that? No, they would never do that. I could be sitting there holding Ruffy, petting him. Here's Phil. What, wearing a cardigan sweater? How about that, too, while we're on the subject? You know, how about me sitting underneath a... How about me sitting underneath a peacock feather holding a cat with a cardigan sweater and maybe, best of wishes, best wishes, Liberace or something in the background, just to kind of set the whole thing off. All right, anyway, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police coming up on The Phil Henry Show. How about one of me sitting on the toilet reading people? There you go.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.